Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted,
the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat.
This is Graham McTavish, and you are listening to Ginger and Summer on the Outlander podcast.
Welcome to episode 99 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
So we made it back from Scotland.
Barely.
Oh, we're still a tiny bit jet lagged. And here to chat about all things Outlander, all things Scotland, all things Great Scott Blog, all things Outlander Pod and Pod Abroad is our friend Mandy, who was basically not just our right-hand person, but she was our every-hand person who knew everything about everything, saved our booties when it came to technology, and knew where to go, what to do, whom to call, besides Ghostbusters, and, you know, just did everything. And welcome, Mandy.
Hello. Good to be here.
Woohoo. So it's reasonably late our time. It's incredibly late Mandy's time. So we really thank her for sticking with us and being able to stay awake.
Depending on what time you're listening to this, it might be incredibly late your time.
Well, I will say
this is the first night I haven't napped on the couch all week.
Really? Oh, so you're on your way up.
Yep.
You're on your way out of the jet lagness. Okay, so we decided the easiest way to make sure we didn't forget any awesome part of our trip would be to just go day by day and talk about the things we could talk about. Okay, so Summer and I left California and landed on a Thursday and landed in Glasgow, or Dublin, then Glasgow on the Friday.
Well, we hit the most horrific traffic trying to get...
In Dublin?
No. Trying to get to the airport in San Francisco.
Oh, my gosh. Well, like, that was a whole other thing.
I don't think I've ever been in a queue for a toll booth for that long.
Was it, like, 4 hours total?
It's generally not... It's generally, so like, an hour and a half, and it took us probably 4 hours to get there. But we followed that by the fact that even though it took us 4 hours to get there,
we were still at the airport,
like... 4 hours before our flight, so this became like the theme of the trip, was that whenever we needed to be at an airport, we were never there less than like 4 hours before we needed to be there,
which is okay if you could just, I mean, it's still early, you can't change the time, but, you know, if you're somewhere early, you're like, oh, it's a, you know, domestic 2 hours, international 3 hours, or whatever, and so we get there, even with the terrible drive, and we go to at least check in or to, yeah, I guess to check in, or we want to get through security so we can just then rest. Because until you're through security, you know, you're always kind of on edge. Like, I want to get through this. I want to get done with this. So we get there, and we're so early that we can't even
check
our bags.
The check-in,
well, she had one bag.
The check-in window, desk, the check-in
counter. It didn't
counter,
exist. It was
they
not
wouldn't
even open.
Tell you what number counter to go to.
It didn't exist.
Because it wasn't open.
They only turned it on
so
when
they,
it
like,
was time.
So they, like, check back at a specific time.
So we finally got through all of that and then made our way to Dublin and then to Glasgow. And when we landed, we found something out that rocked my world. A few things on this trip kind of rocked my world. Well, the whole trip rocked my world. But technology-wise, I've had this phone forever. And I've had different phones. And every phone nowadays does airplane mode. I did not know that if you have your phone in airplane mode, you can still do Wi-Fi. I thought that was the whole point of airplane mode. So when we were, and yes, Summer and I are weak-willed, we both paid the money and got the Wi-Fi on the plane. But then when we landed, there was the free Wi-Fi at both Dublin and at Glasgow. But we landed and our phones were still on airplane mode, but we could turn Wi-Fi on. I was freaking out. I didn't know you could do this because I thought if you turn on Wi-Fi, and we still had our American SIM cards, we were going to be going scrambling with data and just go nuts. But we got there, so because we had the Wi-Fi access, we were seeing Twitter, and I think I was tweeting, and I saw Mandy tweet something, or Mandy did a picture somewhere, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's there! We're going to land! We're going to see her! And I'm like, she's really there! And so we were like, we're coming around the corner, Mandy, we're getting there! And so, anyway, so we get there, and seriously, that, well, not even Glasgow, Dublin, best customs ever.
Dude, they didn't even ask us questions. He literally looked at my passport,
where's your stamped passport? It. Goodbye.
And I said, hey, thanks for the stamp. And he looked at me, he said, what? And I was like, thanks for the stamp. And he goes, you're welcome. And because it's the only stamp I got, and it was from Ireland.
Summer,
and I was like, I was in Ireland for like
Scotland.
2 hours. All I wanted was a stamp from Scotland. I wanted that to be my first stamp on this passport, and it did not happen.
So we get there, everything else, and the first thing we do, besides say hello and, you know, freak out together and hug Mandy and, like, almost suffocate her, is we said, and we said it a million times before, it's like, okay, Mandy, we're gonna meet you, we're gonna go do this. We had, like, everything planned. And then I'm like, oh, wait, our SIM card. So Mandy took us, like I said, she was our tech guru, she, our friendly neighborhood driver. I mean, she did freaking everything. So we went to this. What was it? Was it a Boots?
It was a Tesco.
It was a Tesco
inside the Glasgow Airport.
Airport Tesco.
Yeah. Okay. A mini mart, a Tesco mart or something. So we go in there and we're like, well, you know, they may or may not have it because we didn't know what they may have. Turns out they did. We got our SIM cards and then we left.
Now, it behooves us to say that while
it behooves us.
Oh my God! Did I just say that? I have no idea.
I think you had a little accent.
Anyway, we are talking about Scotland.
She said "Q" earlier, so I mean,
well, then.
I did.
Voice yet.
Well, okay, what I'm getting to is that Mandy was actually already in Scotland when we arrived. She'd been there for at least
a week and a half.
What were you doing in Scotland already, Mandy?
Oh yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I spent the first weekend that I arrived at the UK Outlander Gathering in Crieff.
Yay! How was it?
Oh, it was absolutely fabulous. It was such a well-organized and well-run event, and full of surprises. From the first big surprise on Friday night was that the evening entertainment was Clanadonia.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah, exactly. The street band from Glasgow, whose Hamsterhead tune is featured in episode 101, Sassenach.
Hamsterhead.
Hamsterhead. Yep.
Which, if you ever walk around city center in Glasgow, I promise you, you'll find them.
Absolutely.
They're awesome.
The 2 times we were walking around city center, we ran into them.
We even ran into them in the coffee shop.
Exactly.
And I got my picture with 2 of them.
Yep. And then that was Friday. And then on Saturday, we had the huge surprise of not just the Outlander Fair with all the vendors and neat things that they had at the morning. We also had the lovely surprise guests, who turned out to be Ron and Terry Moore, as well as Meryl Davis, John Gary Steele, Ira Bear, and Tony Graffia.
Now,
Michael O'Halloran.
I've seen pictures, and I heard you say the same thing, I think, since you've seen him in person now. John Gary Steele is quite the looker.
Absolutely. Woo. I have to say, the pictures don't do him justice.
Oh, dang it all. Well, maybe one day we'll be lucky enough to see that.
Well, I mean, we're already planning to head back. So
we already have plans. We're already planning.
Yep.
Okay, so we land. So Mandy's been there for dog's ears.
Which was awesome because she already knew how to drive.
Homegirl knew how to drive from last fall.
I know. I'm just saying, as a tour guide, she was ideal because she was comfortable behind the wheel. She knew where she was going, basically. Or she had it already programmed.
Like a side-handed insult?
Or she already had it programmed into her GPS. My point is,
GPS was the mother load.
It was, but she didn't even have to type anything in. All of the places we went were already programmed. So she just kind of scrolled and poked a button and we were already done. Because if it was me with my GPS, I would have had to handwrite everything.
So we get there. She helps us get our SIM stuff. We don't insert things or ever until much later.
We
had to get out of there because we had to get started.
Let me raise one point of information just in case anyone else ever has to pick up somebody from the Glasgow airport coming in from Dublin. That's not an international flight.
It's not.
I went to the international arrivals area first and couldn't figure out why I couldn't find a flight from Dublin. It turns out that's a domestic flight.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Yeah, you're right, because as you told us, and I didn't realize, but it makes sense. I mean, technically, we are leaving a country and entering another country, but it's because you're not physically flying over a shared border?
Well, it's because it's part of the EU. So you had already entered the EU in Dublin. And so because of all the open borders agreements between EU countries, you didn't have to go through customs again when you entered Scotland.
So I think I'm kind of a fan of that. I mean, yes, I would love to, you know, have one direct flight and be done. But it's kind of nice that when you get to your actual destination, you don't have to worry about stuff.
Yeah, because they ask you a lot of questions at Scottish Customs. I have to earn immigration.
So maybe we need to just do the whole Dublin thing every time.
So that we don't have to do it.
Aer Lingus was great.
It was. I now own two neck pillows. I own two eye masks.
I have your neck pillow.
Okay. Then I own one neck pillow.
Oh, that's right. From the car. Oh, gosh.
But they gave you a kit for every time you get on an airplane for one of their long ones. They had a little kit that was in a little nice little zippy bag, and it had a neck pillow, an inflatable neck pillow. It had an eye mask, a toothbrush and toothpaste. It had socks. It had socks.
Wow, you only get that in business class on Delta.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It was like they would have fallen apart by their threads, but they gave them to you. So, yeah,
They would have worked for a flight.
And correct me if I'm wrong, did not your plane have a name?
Oh, one of the legs of our first of our Europe-bound flight.
Yes.
Was, of course, everything was Aer Lingus, but one of the plane's names was Colum, and I thought, spelled the same way. I was like, really? Maybe it was the first one, because I was like, we're on our way to Scotland. I mean, yes, we've both been there, we both love the country, we love the people that we've met, and come on, let's be honest, the reason we we traveled together at this point in time is really greatly related to the fact that we are involved with this podcast. I mean, that's, we're not going to lie. So the fact that we've made so many friends and met so many people and all of this stuff through doing the podcast and just meeting other fans, when you get on a plane and your plane is named Colum, I mean, it's kind of funny.
It's a sign.
It was a little bit of a sign. We had high hopes for the trip. I don't even know what to say. We knew we were going to have a great time because, again, Scotland. Like, one of the jokes between us was like, oh, you know, the weather. Well, it was pretty much sunny almost the entire time. But whenever there was a little bit of weather, like a little bit of rain or a little bit of hail or something went wrong, which wasn't really bad, but something happened, you're like, oh, well, what if blankety blank happens? And I always said, look, we're in Scotland. It doesn't matter. So that was kind of like a recurring theme throughout the whole trip. It's like, look, we're in Scotland. It doesn't matter. So we get our stuff, and then Mandy drives us to the hotel. And this is where, and she's been warning us for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, not warning, telling us this advice. And I think we were wholeheartedly, we were planning on doing it because, quite frankly, we didn't have time to really nap. But she had said the most important thing to do your best to deal with the jet lag and to get on a local schedule is go do your thing, check in, change, put your stuff down, whatever, take a shower, whatever you need to do. Do not lie down. Do not nap.
And what's the first thing you did?
Well, after I showered, I did. After
I
showered.
You laid down the minute you got in the hotel room.
Oh, no, I didn't lie down. I reclined. I did sit on the bed, and I laid back a little bit, but I was not flat. I think I closed my eyes, but I didn't sleep. But, oh, my gosh, it was so tempting.
Okay, but what I did was immediately jump in the shower.
Yeah.
Took, like, the most delicious shower I've had in a while. The water pressure was amazing. And we're in drought in California, so we try to take short showers. Not in a drought there. I took a very long shower. And then as I got out, I, like, kind of got dressed, and then I walked out to my bag and started going through it, and I realized, because I'd repacked my bag before I left, I repacked it and realized that I hadn't packed one very important thing, and that would be my adapter for my blow dryer. So the first night in Scotland, I've just ruined my perfectly coiffed curly hair by taking a very long hot shower, and I now have no way to do it again. So it was like, I was very upset. I get very upset when that happens. Because I purchased an adapter just for this purpose.
She planned really well, except that she didn't.
I took it out to repack my bag because I'd overpacked initially. And I was like, I'm gonna cut down on some of this stuff, make things fit better so that I have room on the way back. And then I forgot to put that back in. Very important thing that I did not put back in my bag. I now had a blow dryer taking up space that I could not use.
That's true.
But I had to bring it home. What was I going to do when I got home? That's my blow dryer.
So we get there. We do follow Mandy's advice, even though I did recline a tiny bit and I rested a little bit, but I did not sleep. It didn't make me upset, but it was like frustrating, right? Because you're like, you're so tired. You haven't really slept in probably about 20 hours. We have slept. Our sleep, quite frankly, and we've kind of hinted at this over the last few months, our sleep has been pretty darn crap since late March. So I guess almost 3 months, 2.5 months. We said this before too. We really enjoyed the hiatus. A lot of people, I understand being frustrated when they took 6 months in between the season, parts of a season, but I think it was a much needed break, at least for us. And so now that the season has finished, we're also very happy to have this break. What about you, Mandy?
Oh, yeah. I think we all need this time to kind of kick back and recharge before we start really ramping up on Roger Watch and Bree Watch and all of the season 2 madness. Oh, gosh.
That whole watch thing, it's so exciting. It's
exciting, it's terrifying,
oh, well,
never-ending.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. It's Well, it's so hard to think back because we've been through this before, but without the show. So we haven't yet had a full-on watch like we did in 2013 and you know, a good part of 14, I guess, or part of 14. We haven't had a full-on watch having a season behind us. And yeah. Not that that really makes a difference, but now that we've been through a season, we kind of know the entire drill, right? We know what the watch is like, we know what the season is like, and so now it's just getting back on that horse, and you're trying to remember, oh, what was it like? And
I didn't find out they were doing a show until Sam was announced.
Back to Scotland,
we had reservations for dinner, and ooh, yeah. What we happened? Did. Okay, the week before we flew out, there was an Anthony Bourdain Glasgow. Episode.
That Scotland episode.
When we were heading over, Mandy had told us that she made reservations at an Indian food restaurant.
We're like, that sounds great.
That sounds awesome. And then I watched the episode, and the first thing he does when he goes to Glasgow is he goes to this Indian restaurant in Glasgow called Mother India. And having watched this part of the episode, I was like, oh my God, that looks so good. All I want to do is go to Mother India. So as we were flying, and I remembered that Mandy said we were going to Indian food, I was like, oh, I really hope it's Mother India. Did she say it was Mother India? And Ginger's like, I don't remember. So as soon as we landed on the plane, I was like, hey, what Indian food restaurant are we going to? And she said Mother India. And I was like, yes, I'm so prepared for this. I just watched that episode with Anthony Bourdain. So I was so excited to go there.
Yeah, well, the food was spectacular. Oh, this was God. The first time I had eaten at the main Mother India restaurant because they also have a Mother India cafe. And that's where my friend Susan Brown took me my first day in Scotland last fall. And so I knew that it was a place we had to go.
Susan Brown is awesome. We love her.
Yes, we do.
She's our favoritist
travel
person.
Travel extraordinaire.
Yep, outlandertours.com.
Part of Eyes on Scotland.
Yep.
So SusanBrown.com. Just kidding. She's. Let's just start making up URLs now. Pretty much anywhere you go. Yeah. And on Twitter, she's at Eyes on Scotland as well as at Outlander Tour. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yep. And just to plug just for a second here, the reason I knew where everywhere to go in Scotland this trip is because she minutely planned my itinerary when I was there last fall.
Oh my gosh.
You know, down to making sure I knew where to go, when to be there, all that good kind of stuff. And so it's invaluable. I can't recommend it highly enough.
Yeah. And she doesn't realize it yet, but she kept my pants up and my torso warm.
I was like, what, your pants up? That has nothing to do with her, but okay, got it.
She doesn't know it yet. I borrowed a belt and a jacket from her.
Well, now, full disclosure.
If she looks at any of my pictures, she knows. Maybe not the belt, but she knows the jacket.
So then we went to just a little tiny pub around the corner, as you do. And what was that place called, Mandy?
That was called the Sutherland's Bar at the Argyle Hotel.
Yeah, and what was going on? Was it just some random...
Well, there's this little thing they have every Friday night called Angilvan. That just happens to be hosted and emceed by someone we know rather well.
Aw, who is that? He's not a friend or anything. Who is that?
Oh, not at all.
Who's that stranger danger?
That would be Mr. Agave O'Brien.
Now, what's funny
is another ridiculous one. He is amazing.
He is. Mother India is literally right down the street from that bar. But as we walk down and we're approaching it, and I was like, that guy standing on the street actually kind of looks like Agav. And then he stood up and it was Agav. And then we're like, hey, what's going on? And then we got like a giant like quadruple hug where everyone was like all of us together. Nobody got solo hugs that night. But, and then he was like, they may have to cancel tonight. They were going to because all of the bar staff was sick.
It's a bank holiday weekend. But he wanted to work on the bank holiday weekend.
So when I say sick, there were some air quotes around that. So no one was going to come into 10 bar. So they were going to have to cancel it. And then Agav told the owner, he was like, how about if I
can cancel it?
He's like, you can't cancel it. I have people coming from 6,000 miles away.
And he's like, what if I bartend? And the guy, apparently they're friendly enough, because I don't think this would happen in the United States. I don't think you could do that.
I mean, unless you really, truly know someone.
But he's like, how about if I just work behind the bar? And the guy was like, okay. So, like, most of the evening, or the beginning of the evening, Agav was actually behind the bar serving drinks.
A little bit about that night. Basically, Angelvan is... It's not always an open mic, but it kind of is open mic. It's basically...
Yeah, it really is. It really is an open mic.
Yeah, but it's more than just the mic. It's that's what happens there, but the whole thing behind the event is it's an open door, open community, while the focus, being in Glasgow, being in Scotland, is, I mean, the name of it, Angelvan, it is Gaelic, Scottish Gaelic focused. It is truly, like, talk about room or event, whatever you want to call it, without borders. It is so welcoming to anyone and any native tongue, and it was just amazing.
Yeah, there's not many places you can go and hear fiddle tunes on the piano, singing in Gaelic, and arias in the same night.
I was going to say, you know, until this one over here to my right, and when I say that, I mean Ginger, stood up and took her turn. It was all Gaelic music. And then she's like, I want to sing, but I don't know any Gaelic, so I'm going to sing Italian.
I didn't say I want to sing. Agav or someone, I think it was Agav.
She needs very little prompting to get up in front of people
and sing. I am not saying you're wrong, but the point is, he was saying, okay, who wants to go next? Who wants to do it? And no one was doing anything, and I'm like, well, I can sing, but...
Nobody twisted her arm.
No, there was no arm twisting. I said... It's not that I can't sing. I can sing, but the thing is, I don't speak Gaelic. I don't sing in Gaelic yet. I'm working on that. But I don't have anything that I can share at the drop of a hat. And I don't have any... I don't play any instruments currently. I'm working on that, too. But I do... The only thing I have that I can kind of share is an aria or three. And so I'm like... The only one I know for a fact I don't have to look up, and I know the words... I was pretty sure I knew the words, was... an Italian thing. So I said, well, I have something, but it's kind of, it's in Italian. And he's like, well, okay. So yeah, I sang a little song. And then...
But I do have to say that he also had invited a special guest for the evening, too.
He sure did.
Yes, he did.
That was really, really cool for me, because he had invited Tara Rankin to, yes. Who's a Canadian, Cape Breton, Gaelic speaker who now works and lives in Glasgow, to come in and sing and play piano. And I actually know Tara and her family from family vacations in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. So it was really cool for him to have her there, and I was able to take some videos and tweet some pictures and those things to her mom back in Cape Breton. So
it was just such a special night. This is what I would do literally every Friday night if I lived there.
Absolutely. And I got to, you know, say, oh, goody, about every 10 words when I recognized the Gaelic verb. So.
Well, that's what and by the end of the week, I mean, I was getting like, well, maybe every 30th word. Mandy had the radio in the car on to radio. That's very Italian. Radio Nan Gael.
Yep.
Yeah. Or BBC Alpa, something like that. And it was.
BBC Gael radio.
And every once in a while I'd get the word. And or house or or I don't know, ski, I knew that word, tired. So, you know, you get little things, but it's still so neat when you do, because it you don't mind listening even if you don't understand.
Yeah, I still have a much easier time listening and comprehending than I do trying to call words to mind to speak, because my brain just doesn't work that way.
Well, when you are learning a language, the production comes, you know, unless you're just like a, you know, a Wunderkind of that, production is usually...
Like Agabus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude. Production is typically what takes the longest.
And let's not forget the other special guest that was there as well.
Alan Sutherland.
Yes. Yep. Oh, my goodness. And he was... I don't know. He was not necessarily involved with the production, correct?
No.
But he was a specialist in 16th, 17th, 18th century Scottish weaponry.
Yep, weaponry.
This was like I think this was extra special because of Tara and because of Alan. That was some awesome storytelling because they did, I'm not sure if this is part of the tradition or at least their tradition there, but they took turns telling stories, Agav and Tara, and they would say, one would tell a story, you know, in chunks, and then after like a paragraph or whatever, the other would translate. And interpret, and we would get the English, and it was so neat because they got so tickled, and like one would say, what are you trying to say, and then they'd go back and speak to each other in Gaelic, and then they just got so tickled. It was fun to hear, and the stories were really good, and it was also really fun to watch their dynamic.
Yeah.
So that was on Gaelvan. Is there anything else we're missing from that night? We kind of called it early.
You know, I kept the girls out until, 1 a.m.?
It was pretty
at least 1 a.m.
I think it ended at 12:30.
Yeah.
But it was, it wasn't too, and from what you've reported to us before, you guys have taken the house down a little bit later with other Angelvans.
Yeah, sometimes there are after parties.
I see how it is. There was no after party that night.
No. That's next week.
Yes. Just a little bit. So, so we did that, and then we went back, and it was nutty nighttime.
Yeah.
And then we got up in the morning and had breakfast at the hotel, and...
Hey, wait, don't skip over the most important part of breakfast.
Oh, the haggis.
Yes, the haggis.
Oh, my God.
And we have pictures.
It was so funny. I took a picture of my breakfast plate, because I don't eat a lot of carbs in general. My breakfast plate consisted of, and I labeled it all in a picture. It was like scrambled eggs, a poached egg, bacon, because it was their version of bacon, which I actually love their bacon. It's back bacon, which has basically like a piece of a loin, so like Canadian bacon, and then like a little side of like stripy bacon, streaky bacon.
That makes me laugh, streaky bacon.
I know. Streaky bacon, I believe it's called, which is more like what we are used to when we see bacon. So it's like the best of both worlds as far as I'm concerned. And then I had a banger, and then I had a little bit of haggis. So it was like this giant like plate of protein. And somebody commented on it when I posted it on Facebook. They're like, "Oh my God, would you please put something else on there before you get a heart attack?" and I was like, "Oh, that's sweet, but no." But we had pictures of before and after, and Mandy's pictures that she took, I didn't look as convincing as I did in the ones that Ginger took, but actually it was tasty. I enjoyed it, and I would recommend it to anyone who eats meat.
Yeah, we made it a point to have haggis at least once a day.
Yes, we did. For the next week. It was so worth it. It was so good.
So then that was the morning. We did go food shopping every single day. We went only like once or twice.
We went once
officially in the beginning, but we did go to other places that happened to have stuff. We just didn't.
We went to that Asda.
The Asda, yeah.
But that was purely a liquor run, let's be honest. I mean, honestly.
Okay,
hey,
so
I needed ingredients.
To make liquor.
No, you don't make liquor.
Hey,
like
Athelbrose does not, you know, grow on trees.
It was delicious in coffee, I'm not going to lie.
That's something to think about. Okay, so we do have breakfast, and then...
We walked around city center.
That's true, and we took
spent the day on Buchanan Street.
And let's be honest, dear Glasgow, you're awesome for having free Wi-Fi in your city center.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Talk about... Yes, we skipped this part, but we finally got our SIM cards put in.
That was an ordeal, because we bought them from the Tesco's at the airport, and then we got back to the hotel, and they were too big. They didn't give us the right size for the phones. So then when we walked to city center, and on the way there was an O2 store, which is kind of like... I guess it would be like your Verizon store, your T-Mobile store. O2 is the...
One of the companies.
The company there that does the cell phone service. So we went to this O2 store, and basically I said, we were like, here's what we bought, it's too big, and they basically replaced it for free. And
yeah.
I mean, we already paid for it. So they were like, okay, well, you can keep the number that was associated with the SIM card we gave you. We're just going to update it and give you this little teeny nano one. And they, you know,
in swift order, made it all better. Yep. And now all of a sudden we had awesome phones.
And once, I mean, I even took a screenshot when it said, O2 UK. I'm like, yes. Not very exciting, but it's exciting when you first get your American phone to work, which normally I have to buy like a little, I still have it somewhere, like a little, a dumb phone that just takes, you know, GSM SIM cards and you don't need anything fancy. But the cool thing is now that we do have our smartphones and it does take two, or you can change out the SIM.
Yeah, as long as you have an unlocked phone, that's the key. It has to be an unlocked phone.
Yeah, and we...
So you either have to usually fulfill your contract, or iPhone on Verizon, I think, has to be unlocked by FCC decree, so...
You're right, and that's why we were able to do this. So thank you, FCC.
Yeah, because I was like, I don't think that I physically unlocked mine.
No,
it just worked. Like,
no, it would... Yeah, the iPhones on Verizon are already unlocked.
Boom.
Okay, so
get an iPhone, people.
So we got our SIM.
Yeah, just make sure you get a nano SIM if it's a new iPhone.
Oh, gosh, exactly.
This episode brought to you by Apple, I wish.
No, Mandy does not.
I know Mandy doesn't.
Mandy's part of the conversation was brought to you by Microsoft.
Exactly, and ours is brought to you, right
mine
now.
Mine is brought to you by Glasgow. I don't know about you. Yours is brought to us by Apple. That's fair. Or O2. How about that? O2. So we get there, and we do that, and the next morning we do all that we just said. Trying not to go back too much.
Done. Yeah, we just spent the day walking up and down.
Oh, we did. It was so the Wi-Fi. It was so nice because I guess you don't realize till you're there what it's actually like. But when you're in the city and you're walking down the road, walking down the city, at least the pedestrian zones, there's free Wi-Fi, and you just like you just choose it and it comes up and it works. And then every time you want to go into a shop or a cafe, it's usually free. Sometimes it's kind of nice if you're a customer and then they give you the sign in. But, I pretty much lost, I don't think it's a thing over there. It would be a thing for me. If it were common over here, it would be less of a thing. But because it's not common, it is kind of a thing for me. But after, like, the third time asking for a password, I have no shame.
Yeah, the reason most of the establishments, I think, I mean, this is my own interpretation of the issue, is the reason most of them have Wi-Fi in... and restaurants and things, is those buildings are so old and the walls are so thick, you can't get good cell phone reception inside most buildings.
No, you can't.
So I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
But you still have to ask for them, and I was like,
oh absolutely, yeah.
But, dude, like I said, I have no shame.
I'll ask.
I will.
No shame.
Oh, you can have shame, because if you want kind of, hey, I put this out there, we went to freaking McDonald's twice, and we announced it, and so we have no shame. Exactly. Again, free Wi-Fi for the price of a Diet Coke.
We needed Diet Cokes with lots of ice and Wi-Fi.
Oh, my gosh.
Bathroom.
And
bathroom.
Talk about ice, yes. So, okay. So
can we just talk about the beauty of the city center in Glasgow? That city is so alive. Like, if you walk through the city center, like...
It's electric.
Every 25, 30 feet, there's a different...
Busker.
And that's somebody, some live musician, just like parked on the street, either singing, playing an instrument, or both. There were some on our last day when we were walking through the city center. There were some like ninjas doing ninja moves. I mean, like it was so random, just street performers everywhere you walked.
Someone
walk,
I
just
said
street performers.
It's very reminiscent in that respect and in other respects of New York. It's just very alive.
Yeah, people like to talk about Edinburgh, and Edinburgh, don't get me wrong, is a great tourist city. It's a place everybody should go when they go to Scotland once and see all the, you know, the castle and the palace and all the good sights. But to me, the real people city in Scotland is Glasgow. That's where you really are able to integrate yourself into the city and feel like you're really a part of the local scene.
A few late nights or early mornings, however you want to put it, and one morning that I went, one night that went till 4 a.m., I'm rarely, mostly, at a loss for words. I can't get over it. I know part of it is we're so in love with Scotland that we're already predisposed to love it, almost anything there, but I don't have a lot of words. I was so touched, and I am so in love with Glasgow, it is kind of embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, and it's so much the people, too.
Oh, 100%. It is. Yeah. It is. And of course... I mean, it's the people, and we don't know every single soul there. I get it, but the friends we do have there are just so amazing, and then their friends of friends are so welcoming. It's like,
That's where we ran. We got a chance to catch up with Susan for a few minutes too.
Yes, that was
she had to leave on her.
That was so
that was
random.
The quickest, like, hello, 5 minutes, gotta go. That was awesome. I'm glad you're in my house.
Okay, well, here's what I will say about Scotland. They have a lot of really nice coffee shops. They have a chain there called Costa, which had delicious coffee. I had cappuccino there a couple of times. I only went to one.
Huge
cappuccino. I got one that was literally the size of my head. It had a handle on each side. Like, it was awesome. But they do have Starbucks there, in case you're curious about that.
Oh, we didn't go to one, did we?
We did go to one. One. And what I found out in going to that one Starbucks was that you actually get a better deal with your venti coffees or espresso drinks.
I did not know this.
In Scotland than you do in the United States. Because when you get a coffee in the United States at Starbucks or an espresso drink, like if I got a latte, a venti latte, they would give you two shots of espresso and fill the rest up with milk.
Oh.
I usually order it with three because I don't want that much milk. I want, you know, some coffee in there. Well, the default venti drink in Scotland has three shots in it already.
Wow.
So I'm like, this place was just made for me. Like, they have my exact drink already ready to order without having to add anything extra.
Yeah, Starbucks is useless to me in Scotland because they don't have iced green tea.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we only went to one Starbucks while we were there.
But we balanced it out by going to two McDonald's, so it's all good. And I am not...
You know what, though? It's an important thing to do. You should always try something that looks familiar to you when you're in a foreign country. I'm not... It's a McDonald's. It's a chain. But I guarantee you everything tastes a little different there, and it's not the same.
I don't judge people who do that. I don't care if it's your American, your first time abroad, you're going to Paris or you're going to France, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's the one thing that they recognize and they want to try it. Again, it will be different. I don't judge that at all. I do my best to avoid things from home. Not that they're bad. I just don't want to do something when I can do that at home.
I do that too, but the main benefit at the McDonald's both times it was open when we needed it.
We needed the Wi-Fi. The most important
thing. Because let me tell you, a lot of things don't stay open late in Scotland.
Thank you. That was going to be my point. Exactly. The most important thing to know about McDonald's in Scotland is that it's open till 10 and everything else closes at 5.
Oh, goodness.
So when it's 7 o'clock and you need a bathroom and maybe a drink and everything else is closed, you look for the McDonald's.
Exactly, and Wi-Fi.
It's terrible. Anyway,
The Wi-Fi is important because half the time you don't get a data signal in Scotland.
I know, but I was having such an issue with the McDonald's Wi-Fi. Like, my phone was so against it. It was like,
your phone hates you. So,
no, my phone hates McDonald's.
We're going to talk about our dinner that night in Glasgow.
Oh my God. We went on
Saturday night.
Okay, so we spent the day walking around, going having coffee,
that is the day that I discovered Costa.
Yes.
And my giant cappuccino.
And that's where we ran into Clanadonia.
Yes, that's correct. And I took a picture.
Well, it was funny because I looked over, I was like, dude, look, there's people in kilts, because I hadn't seen anyone in kilts since we'd arrived in Glasgow.
And then someone said, dude, those are like serious kilts.
No, and that's what Mandy said, that's Clanadonia. And I was like, oh, really? She's like, yeah, they busk on the streets here all the time. And I was like, really? They seem like they'd be such a bigger deal, but no.
That's where Meryl heard them and wanted them the song for Outlander.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's such a small world, you know?
I know.
Not really. It's the same city.
But let's be honest. We were keeping our eyes peeled all over Glasgow for anybody, and they were apparently in Edinburgh.
That's true. We saw two different... We saw either through retweets or something that someone had gotten a shot with Sam, and then someone had gotten a shot with Duncan. I was like, really?
In Edinburgh.
You're in Edinburgh. You can't be here.
Boo.
So, okay, so then, yeah, we had a very special dinner that night.
We crashed date night.
We were invited for Ailey Grant and her husband.
But kind of we did.
We totally crashed it. She's like, we're going to be at this place. What was it called? The Muscle Inn?
Yeah.
Muscle Inn.
And I was like, what is that? Is it like, you know, like...
Can I get muscles?
Right. And then I was like, muscles like seafood or muscles like, you know, I've got some great pecs. And it was muscles seafood, which I was concerned going in because Ginger doesn't eat any kind of animal. On purpose. So
what does that mean?
I'm just saying, if somebody
slips it in,
maybe you might not notice. That's a really bad phrase, by the way. You should never have said that. She's shaking her head in shame.
Not shame, just
point is, when we said it was called Muscle Inn, Mandy's eyes lit up and she was like, I love muscles!
And I'm like, okay, you guys go for it.
So, I mean, to be honest, though, I had a salad.
That's true.
And it literally was what? A block from where we were.
It was literally around the corner.
I mean, I was texting them and she's like, are you guys there? We're about to eat or whatever. She's like, we're just here. I'm like, yeah, we're on our way. And then
it was like 2 seconds later.
She literally texted me and said, I think you guys just passed the restaurant. I'm like,
Then we walked in and the woman behind the little register was like, can I help you? And I was like, oh, I think we're meeting people here. And I'm kind of looking around. And then all of a sudden, Ailey comes halfway down the stairs. And she goes, hiya!
Just the cutest little bumblebee that ever was, except for her kiddos.
Oh, don't even get into that. And probably shouldn't
talk to me about kiddos.
No, but I love them.
Ailey, if you ever... I know you have tons of family, but if you ever need someone to, like, adopt them out for a month or something like that...
If you ever need to, like, you know, send them abroad... What did they do with... What did they call that when you would send your kids to some fostering? Yeah. You foster your kids to, like...
Like what they did with Jamie when he was 16?
I'm just saying, if you want to foster your kids, you can send them to us. I will foster them gladly.
We can't promise sword fighting, but we can promise... Maybe he'll come home with a... He'll be able to at least mock our American accent because he should never lose his own.
No, he'll come home being fully snuggled and, like, well-loved after however much time you let him spend with me.
And fattened up because we need to see those cheeks. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just thinking. Yeah, anyway, that's enough. So we get and we crash their date night, and it was the best and most fun. And then as we left... Ginger cried.
Oh, my God. That was the first time.
No, was it number two or number one? Didn't I cry?
Time you cried.
That was really? The first time.
Yeah, I did not cry it on Gilbert.
Summer and I were sidling away.
I was like, I'm going to extricate myself from
this.
You're
not with her.
I'm going like, to let Ailey deal with that. I'm going to walk with Peter and talk about nonsense.
Yeah, Peter was a great sport.
He was a good sport considering the fact we totally crashed his date.
I know. That's funny.
He's like barely has any nights away from the kids, and he had to spend it with us weird Americans. Bless you, Peter. Awesome. You're a saint. And this was the first night that I actually realized how the sun doesn't go down.
Oh,
that's true. The sun does not go down.
She's like, oh, this is no joke.
As we're walking back, like I was like, it's so light outside. And I looked at my clock, and it was like
9 o'clock.
It was like 9 o'clock. I was like, are you kidding me right now? It's like, it was almost full sun at 9 o'clock at night. And then, I think, did we go to bed? We just went right to bed that night, didn't we?
No, we didn't. We drove to Pitlock Green.
Oh, my God, you're right. That's what we did. I remember being in the car. So we got back to
Once we got there, I think we didn't sleep right away.
No, we did the live thing.
That first Saturday was the longest day on the history of the world. Because we got up, I mean, a reasonable time. Had a long, wonderful, beautiful day. Had coffee, looked around, saw some buskers, all that. And then had dinner with Ailey and Peter, and then got to the car and drove, an hour and a half?
Yeah, it's about 90 minutes.
Hour and a half, yeah. Hour and a half or so to the place we're staying in Pitlochry. And, yeah, we got there probably at, 9 or 10?
Okay. Well, no, it was probably more like 10:30.
Okay, so which is still kind of reasonable.
Who can say? It was full sun.
I know.
Which is still a reasonable time if all you're doing is going to take a shower or relax and go to bed. We still had, long story short, that was when we had the live chat about, I mean, the plan was to do a live chat and just kind of talk about the season, right? I think we did that mostly, but I mean, it was a. This is the second time that Mandy's computer skills slash just flat out her computer saved the day. Ours was a little temperamental, and we did about three or four times. Like, okay, ain't gonna work. She offered up her thing, and we signed in, and hallelujah, it worked. So we were able to do the we were able to do the live chat. And then...
And for everyone who tuned in, thank you, because you know...
All 16 of you.
there were 18 max, down to four.
We're not discussing numbers. My point is we appreciate everyone who came aground, because we were talking about stuff, and we're like, now what? And then somebody respond to us. So we know you're there. And then people started, like, interacting, and it got, like, awesome really fast.
And the best is when my sister was later Skyping with... our father and our family and her daughter. Awesome. And then something was it that night? Was it that night? And then something comes up about, oh, did you see our live?
Oh, no, he told me.
Oh, okay, sorry. He flat out said, oh, yeah, I enjoyed it the first few minutes, but especially the prep when Ginger dropped the F-bomb. And I was like, what?
He didn't even say Ginger. He's like, but then the F-bomb was dropped and I had turned off. And I was like, dude, I didn't drop the F-bomb because it's usually me. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't do it. I know it was not me. And he was like, it wasn't you. It was Ginger. And I was like, that's awesome.
And so that's why that's no longer available. We will make it available as probably make it into a podcast in case
the audio portion that the portion that I have is post F-bomb, so you're good.
So all those tests that we did and I made hidden, mm-hmm. right. so you can't mm-hmm. see it. And then this one that we did, we made it hidden, right? So I think it was after we got back from Scotland. Maybe it was not, but it was when I could turn the computer on. And I, for some reason, went to go check something out, and it had like hundreds of hits. I'm like, how the heck do we have hundreds of hits of people watching this? And like, it's not hidden. So me and the F-bomb and the whole thing was available to the world. I think it was just unlisted, but it wasn't hidden. So, Lord have mercy, you learn.
Lovely.
Not lovely. So, it's gone awesome. Now, and so it will be deleted, but we will make the,
Y'all, we are only on day two. Let's get this rolling.
Okay. We may have to continue this later.
Poor Mandy.
Okay, so we stay up, I don't know how we did it, but oh my gosh, that's right. Oh, Lord have mercy. So, we stay up, Scotland time, 12 to 1. That's when the live chat was. And then... They go to bed, but to bed means Summer went to Skype with the family, and Mandy, you went to work on the blog, right?
Yeah, I think I did end up finishing the blog post before I went to bed.
So they went to bed, quote unquote, but the thing is, we were all still using data. So I stayed
bed was downstairs. Relative.
I know. So I stayed downstairs because I had to. The plan was, since it was the week between 1:15 and 1:16, there was no new episode, but we had an interview with Tony Graffia to share, and also a sweet little bumper to add. So everything was done. It was all edited, all ready to go, but I just had to copy and basically I already had the MP3. I just had to upload it onto the server and then get the code and embed and all that stuff. So... It was not happening. I think it literally took 45 minutes for it to upload to the server just because we were all on it. It was, you know, as Mandy has said, it is great internet. It's great wireless for Scotland, for being in the Highlands. But it's not, you know, maybe comparable to what we have here in a big city in the U.S., right? So it was fine. But it wasn't just that. It was totally functional. But all three of us were on it. In a really funky time, too, because most Scots are probably asleep.
I was not on it that long. I Skyped with my daughter for, like, 10 minutes, and then I attempted to go to bed, but I couldn't turn the lights off in the room because Ginger hadn't... We were sharing a room, and she hadn't been up there yet for very long, so I didn't want to turn all the lights off, so I had...
smack my face on the ground.
And I didn't want to hear about that because then she would have been, like, complaining about it. So I left one light on... And then I was laying in the bed with a face mask, one of my Aer Lingus face masks that they gave us, the eye mask, basically waiting for her to come up. Not sleeping because I couldn't for whatever reason, but I laid there until she finally came up. So I was not on the Wi-Fi the whole time.
But the point is, even if no one had been on it but me, it still would have been a little bit restrictive just because of the size of what I had to put up. So we finally got everything up. It was
my, she's such a size queen.
I think I seriously went to bed by two.
It was bad.
So 12 to 1, it took me at least, I seriously think it was 3 a.m. Now, the next day was Sunday. That was like our one and only like kind of relaxed day, right?
It wasn't all that relaxing.
I was going to say.
What did we do? We could sleep in a little bit. I guess that's what I meant.
As someone who put several hundred miles on the car that day.
What did we do that day?
We started off going, that was when we went to the co-op and did our food shopping.
Okay, the co-op, that's code for grocery store.
Yes, exactly.
That was nice.
And while walking around this grocery store, this is when I've purchased my first haggis. I was so excited.
Oh, before the blowout, yeah.
Before the ball, we'll get to that. There's video evidence of that, and if you were following Pod Abroad, you saw it.
Yeah.
But we basically bought breakfasty things to keep back at the house we were staying at, so that hopefully we wouldn't have to venture out for breakfast. We could have a quick bite or whatever, and then get off on our day.
Yeah. And so after that, we went south to Aberdour Castle.
We sure did.
I don't know. All I remember is that from the minute we stopped the car, we lost Summer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Summer just disappeared.
I wasn't lost. I went searching. No, I didn't pay for my entry fee first, but I decided I wanted to look around. I wanted to look around to see if it was worth my entry fee.
Oh, you little sneak.
That's not true. I totally didn't know that. I was looking for the place, and I went to the wrong area. And by the wrong area, I mean I just went on into it without paying.
Yeah. And for those who don't know and haven't really read any of the behind-the-scenes stories or things like that, Aberdour Castle is what was used for the Abbey in episode 116 for Outlander.
Yes, it was.
So, and see, if you'd been with us to buy the ticket, you would have heard the story from the entry person telling of which parts of the castle had been used. So,
it's true. Nice. But the fact that it hadn't actually aired yet made it kind of okay for me not really to know what I was looking at. Because it didn't, because what you thought was used wasn't used.
Right. Well, the long gallery and the stable block were definitely used.
Yes,
they were. And then the terrace out overlooking the gardens was definitely used. Absolutely. I never did figure out what they used the new kitchen or the old kitchen for. So
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't know that one either. They clearly got a hallway in there at some point.
What did we decide or decide we thought the stable block was used for?
Stable block is where Claire faints and
of course, Artak
catches her.
Okay, I can totally see that now. So we did Aberdour.
We did.
And then
we did it hard.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, and something really interesting, which they didn't, as far as we know, they didn't use at all, but it was so beautiful, was that Dovecot?
Yeah, the Dookot. Yeah.
That was awesome.
D-O-O-C-O-T.
Ah, that's very Scots, huh?
Yeah.
Or very Scottish.
Well, all I know is that was like bomb. Like I walk like oh, outside, it was, so it was nice. Like this cute little honeycomb looking building.
No.
It's a beehive. It's a beehive Dookot.
So and then you walk in and you look up and it's just like this hole, this like perfectly round hole in the ceiling. And you look up and it almost feels like you're at the bottom of a well.
Oh gosh.
I got some pretty good pictures on the blog.
I'm so glad you actually went in because you were like, I'm not going in there. I'm terrified of going in there. I'm like, go in there. It's awesome. It was definitely, I think I probably took the most pictures there. It was the first place we went that was filming oriented. So I took a crap ton of pictures there. And then I think I took significantly less at each new place because I was so busy drinking it in.
Yeah.
But there's a church. No, she was just so busy drinking. Want you to know that too.
We were all drinking.
But as I went, there is the church.
I was driving.
That's true. She was a good girl.
But there's the church like right through this little gate. And when I went inside, you left me in there. I was so close to ringing that church bell because I found the pull cord for it.
Well, did you notice they rang that church bell in episode 16?
No. So I was like, I almost rang it. I was like, I want to ring it. But nobody's here to tell me to do it. So I was like, I'm not going to do it. So if somebody had been there to egg me on, I totally would have done it because I found it. But I wanted to. And then once I actually watched the episode and I saw them ringing it like 30 times in the episode, I was like, I should have rang it.
So after Aberdour, where were we off to?
We Falkland.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. And this was a pretty busy first day, y'all.
Wait, so this is all Sunday?
This was all Sunday.
Oh, see, I forgot. Okay.
Yeah, no, we went to Falkland, so.
Oh, my goodness. We went to Falkland and.
Which I kept calling Falkirk.
And
yeah, Falkirk is where the Kelpies are. Two different things.
We drove through it.
Yes, we did.
Hold on. What was Falkirk again? Sorry, Falkland? Stop it.
Falkland is Inverness in episode 101.
Right. Oh, that's right. So that's where we went and had like some more like tea and scone kind of thing.
We saw the pocket teamies in the windows.
In the window, exactly. And then Summer, well, we all took our turns, but the only ones I personally posted on Instagram was Summer as the ghost.
Yeah.
Yes, in my pink jacket, which is very Jamie, and the jeans.
But it meant we could always spot you.
It's true. It was hard to lose me in my bright pink jacket.
Yep.
And that was just fun kind of walking around. That was really nice. Oh, and that was
What I do like to tell people, though, is be sure if you do go visit Falkland to go into the little store there called Earth Fair.
It's actually
the storefront that was used for the vases when Claire looks in, you know, and says that about never having had a home to have a vase in. Lady in there has the most adorable fair trade stuff, and she's just a very, very nice lady.
She was awesome. I think we all bought something there.
Oh, yeah. I try to always buy something in there.
That was just really sweet. And after the shop and after Falkland and just, you know, walking around and doing our thing, what was Kudus next?
Yep, Kudus was next.
So the only sad thing about Kudus was we wanted to see the minutes. Gardens. Sorry?
I said 6 freaking minutes.
Oh, yeah. The palace, you used to be able to go to the gardens, just pop right in. Now yep. They've made it where you have to get a ticket or a pass to get in to see the you have to get into the palace to see the gardens. So, or at least it's under one price.
Well, because the gardens used to be free, but once they realized right. they could make money off of it, because the gardens were the only thing featured in Outlander.
But yeah. To me, it makes perfect sense.
I don't blame them. I'm just saying.
I don't knock them for doing that.
Now, if you show up 20 minutes before they actually close the doors, they should let you in.
It was more than 40 minutes.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, it was six, the last entry time was 4:15.
Yep.
They don't close till 5, and we got there 6 minutes past 4:15.
Yep. Right. That's my point.
4:21. But I'm here to tell you, I've had that experience before. Candida can tell you about it too from last October.
They don't
budge on those last entry times.
No, seriously.
I mean, and what they don't understand is that we would not have even gone in the house if they'd let us. Right. We would have just literally walked into the gardens and looked around and then left.
Yeah.
Now, someone said, who was it who said it? It was later on, like a few days later, we were telling someone we were there. And they said, if you go up, like we had, you know, gone up that walk.
Yeah.
You can go over and look down.
Right.
I don't know where that is. Is that is it a private way or is it a public way?
I think there's a staircase walkway that goes up there by the side of the garden.
Okay.
And you can probably get up to the top and look back down into the gardens themselves. But I really am. That's the only thing that I'm really sorry you guys didn't get a chance to see, because I got to go there last fall, and it's the most spectacular garden.
Well, don't worry.
And they've got chickens, and
we're,
I mean...
Oh, we're going back.
Yeah, we're
going
to go back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's already in the works. Like, literally, we started planning it day one when we got there.
If you said you wanted to go next week, I would figure out a way.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, my God, my daughter would not allow it, but...
You're not allowed to go that far without her.
I'm not. She drew a line. She put her foot down. Those are her words exactly.
I see. I have this mental vision of a line in your house now. Mommy is not allowed to go past here.
She is. It's a red line. It's a red, formidable line that I'm not allowed to cross any further.
But the good news about not having spent a lot of time in the gardens is... we were able to go up and see Murcat Cross, which is where Galus Duncan's house is.
Yes.
And where they did the ear nailing.
Mm-hmm.
But then we went out to our favorite location, my favorite location.
It was awesome.
I don't know what was more favorite than that. As far as the show locations or show-related locations, that West Kirk was just magical.
Yeah.
And there's no one there.
And not only was it our favorite location, but it was also the favorite location of somebody who needed to take a poop, because there was
a human who needed to take a poop.
There was like human feces and toilet paper on the ground.
They thought they had enough forethought to bring toilet paper,
right.
But they couldn't use it.
They just left it there. They just like left like a wad of it,
or at least a little streak of it. They didn't leave a whole roll. I'm like, really? You had enough forethought to bring toilet paper?
Maybe it was one of those like ghost poops where you don't need to wipe.
Oh, Summer, that was not a ghost.
I'm just saying, anyway, it was an actual
and
poop.
it was a little stinky too. I'm not gonna lie, but it was so magical. And then we all agreed that the poop was not magical.
It was
the West
poop.
Kirk was magical, and
it was.
I think we all agreed by the time. Well, we were quote unquote done. We were walking out the walkway, whatever. And I think that was when you took your first lay down selfie.
No,
that was the next
My
day.
First was at Aberdour.
Yeah.
Oh, you did it. Oh, I
My
totally
first
did.
Was
okay.
at Aberdour in the room with the painted ceiling.
That's right. They were gorgeous.
And it was because I took a picture of the painted ceiling, and I was like, the only way to really get a good picture of this is to lay down.
Uh-huh.
So I laid down on the floor and took a picture of the ceiling, and I was like, this is so funny. I'm laying on the floor. I need a picture of me laying on the floor. So I took
Little
a picture.
Did we know.
It would become the ground fee.
It would start.
ground fee.
And there would also be a theme of poop.
Oh, dude. Oh, my God. Creating a poo.
When we get to there, we'll get to there. Girls, this may take a series of 7 calls because we're not even done with day 3.
Oh, my Lord.
Or 2 full day. Okay, so we do Aberdour. We do Falkland, Kudus. We're up at West Kirk. And as we leave, there's like this bench. And we're sitting right there. Outside, I think Summer was lying on the grass or sitting on the grass.
I did my first ground fee.
I don't know what.
The other was a floor fee. This was a ground fee.
So, but we were on our way out. We were done, I guess, with the inside or the stuff related to the show. And we had taken pictures and we were just talking and we truly did relax there. And we were just like, a few times I said this, and it's going to get old, but I'm like, this is the kind of place where there's no one there and you just want to bring up a picnic and just sit there and just, or write, or bring a, you just want to relax.
The good thing about most of the places we went, and I would say most because there was one location we went to for sure that was like full of people, but for the most part, because of the time we went, the time of the year and the season.
Time of day.
The time of day, like almost every location, place that we went to was empty, and we had it to ourselves.
That's why I like May. I really, really, really like going to Scotland in shoulder season, May or October, because it's everything's open, but it's before the big tourist crowds get there, and so you're not, you know, packed with people everywhere you go.
No, and I remember we were talking to somebody later that week, and we were talking, somebody was mentioning the whole Outlander tours and getting on a tour and being on a bus with a bunch of people and they're taking you to all the places, which is awesome.
If it's that your thing.
No, it's just not my thing. And the reason it's not my thing is because the idea of waiting my turn to in a line of people waiting to take the same photograph.
Yeah.
I'm like, that just sounds like my personal idea of hell. I'm like, I'm not interested in that. I want to have, my own unique experience.
There were only three of us, and I still got, not upset, but I still got annoyed that I had to wait until one of you two got out of my shot. Or I had to walk up next to you. I mean, we all did this. We're taking pictures.
But I just left Summer in all my shots.
Sorry?
I said I just left Summer in all my shots.
I mean, you should. I was delightfully blonde and curly.
I don't mind if it's a certain thing. But I'm just going to, this just goes to show what you were saying is, if you have 30 people in a van or a bus or whatever,
and you all want the same shot,
it's going to take forever, or you're just going to have to leave everybody in there. I mean, I couldn't imagine doing 30 or 50 when it was just the three of us, and we had no problem whatsoever as far as taking pictures and everything. But you guys did not annoy me, but I was like, okay, I want a picture of a castle. I want a picture of a castle with a pink person in front of it.
No, but I need you to know that at several points when I was trying to take a selfie, and because I had to, because that's the only way I end up in any of my own pictures.
That's true.
But as I was trying to take a selfie, Ginger thought she was getting out of my way by continuing to get behind me, and I'm like, stop walking behind me, because she thought I was taking a picture of what was in front of me. So she kept walking back behind me, and I'm like, stop it. I kept moving back to try to get out of her way, and she kept moving back into my camera view, and I was like, what are you doing? I'm trying to take a selfie. She was like, oh, I thought I was getting out of your way. I was like, no, you're getting into it.
I think the only other thing we did that day was we stopped by Asda on the way home.
We did, because we stopped by to get gas, and at that point, we were like, where do we get liquor?
Yeah.
So we did that again. I'm not going to snort it.
No.
Do it again.
Doing it again.
So we were going to Asda to get liquor?
No, we stopped at a gas station.
Right. And then we said, where do you get liquor in Scotland?
They don't have liquor here. So we asked at the counter where to get liquor. And they were like, oh, go to Asda. It's basically like your local Walmart. Because it was like a Walmart. It had home goods and it also had grocery store stuff. So we went there. It seemed like no matter what we did, we always did the wrong thing. We were like, oh, we'll use the self-checkout. But it was never easy.
Oh, my gosh. And it didn't just happen the one time. It happened another time, too. It's like we don't learn. The U.S. is a little bit behind the ball when it comes to chip and pin.
Yes.
There are banks or whatever that have issued the same or at least chip cards. I have one chip card, but I didn't use that credit card. I wanted to use – we have a different card that Summer and I set up. And it worked. We called the bank. We made sure that everything was okay if we use it internationally. We had no problem from our banks. And then we get there, and the reason we did self-checkout was to try and be a little faster, but also because people in the other ones had, 100 items.
We had three.
We should have just gone because it would have taken less time.
It would have.
Or the same, and we wouldn't have had the
problem. It was okay until it came to the bags.
Oh my God, no. What the problem
no,
really?
Mine was paying.
No, my problem was the fact that we had people lined up behind
us.
Oh,
that was
and
awful.
I just kept looking over them going, sorry. Like,
and not only that, but no, we don't stick out at all. We're already tourists. We're already Americans.
And we clearly don't know how to
run
it.
Line. Oh,
but because you don't have the chip in the in the card,
someone has to
come over and watch you sign it and verify your signature. So, which is fine.
They were great.
But it's like, and I was telling the guys behind me, because we didn't do it as one transaction, which we should have. That would have saved us a lot of time. Because we didn't do that, we did two transactions. And so I was telling the guy behind me, I was like, don't worry, I've learned from her mistakes, and I'm going to make this so much faster. And then I got to my turn.
Don't
and then,
speak so
And then
soon.
Everything I rang up gave, like, a problem. Like, the poor woman came up. She had to come over, like, three times. I was like, I'm doing this right, I promise.
Just go home, please.
And then I was like, please don't go anywhere. You have to watch me sign this. I was like, don't leave. So it was.
Yeah.
And Mandy, of course, waited in line for the checker.
Are we still on Sunday?
Yes. Mandy waited for the checker
this
and was done so much faster than we were because she just let them, like, check her out. And so we should have done that. We should have just stayed with Mandy.
Oh, Lord have mercy. So, and then we go back to the house, right?
Yep. Went back to the house.
Put our stuff
made
in
the apple bros.
Huh?
That's when we made the apple bros.
And that's when I decided I was going to cook some haggis.
Yes.
That's
right.
I read the directions. It said I needed to do A, B, and C. I did A, B, and C, but then C, I let last longer than it should have.
I think we were too busy having fun with Cards Against Humanity.
We were. C of my A, B, and C was to cook it for 75 minutes. I'm fairly sure I left it in the oven for like 90.
Yeah.
So when I went back
but
and opened it,
because
usually when you're cooking something, usually once you start to smell it, it's ready to cook. It's ready to come out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I don't smell anything yet. So I wasn't really that concerned. And then I was like, I should go look at that. And when I opened the oven, my perfectly, like, contained haggis sausage thing had blown out. Like, there was just, like, it just exploded out of one end. And I was like, oh, God, I don't know if I can eat that. Is it okay? Did I ruin it? So I took it out, set it aside, let it cool for a little bit. And then, you know, after like 15 minutes, we're like, we're eating it anyway.
It was delicious.
It was delicious. We ate on it for like
morning.
We ate on it for like 2 days. It was breakfast. It was dinner. It was awesome. But yeah, it was. I believe that the user error involved was that we did cook it longer than it needed to be cooked. But it was, it was amazing. It was very, very tasty. I think if you're abroad, you should try it. If you eat meat. If you don't eat meat, try the vegetarian
I'm trying to figure out where to get haggis here that's not canned, so.
Yeah, canned.
I found one, but it costs more to ship it than it costs for the product.
Yeah, that's not cool.
No.
But, I mean, from the can, and, like, our Scottish friends, like, totally scoffed at me when I said it was A, from a can, and B, I bought it on Amazon. But it wasn't bad, actually. It wasn't as good as McSween's. McSween's is, like, the pinnacle of haggis for me. But it was it got the job done. It was still tasty.
Yeah.
And my daughter, my six-year-old daughter, ate it and loved it. Just
cool.
saying. Just saying. If a six-year-old will eat it without complaining and not ask what it is, it can't
be
better.
If they have it at World Market. You know, they have a lot of specialty food stuff at World Market.
If they do, it's going to be in a tin. Let's be honest.
Right. Yeah. But I'm just thinking that's quicker than Amazon.
It could be. But I got it in 2 days.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, it would be quicker, meaning you walked home with it, but, I mean, the odds of them actually having it could be kind of slim.
Yeah. Okay. So are we going to talk about the next day?
The next day. What's the next day?
It was Monday.
Next day was the Monday where we picked up our very own outlandish baker.
We did pick up an outlandish baker.
And the outlandish baker brought us baked goods.
Oh, my gosh,
yes,
you guys.
She did. Oh my
gosh. I don't know who prompted her on what to bring or if she just on her own decided to do it, but she brought us. She brought us Sam's favorite goodie and Katrina's favorite goodie.
Yes.
And that was these amazing peanut butter cookies.
Cookies.
Oh my gosh, that's Sam's favorite. And these like banana oat bran muffins. They were all gluten-free, but they were so good. Like, they were so... But the thing is, it was so funny. She brought them in the car, and just... She kind of got into the car with, like, a little, like, grocery bag. Plastic grocery bag of stuff, and just kind of put it at her feet. And we didn't actually touch it the entire day.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't even look at it or anything. And then
we
after...
We had a heck of a lot of stuff to
did.
Look at.
We did. But my point is that until we dropped her off and we kind of went off on our own to head back to Pit Lockery, I didn't even look at it. And I lifted it off the ground. I mean, this thing...
She was like, what?
I was like, dang. I mean, this thing weighed, like, I don't know, 15 pounds. Like, this thing was heavy.
It was massive.
And I was like, oh my gosh, you guys. I thought she brought us, like, I don't know, a dozen cookies and maybe, like... Like, 4 or 5 muffins, like, enough for just, like, 3 people, because that's all there were, was 3 people. She brought us, like, a bakery container full of cookies. There had to be, like...
It was 4 dozen of the cookies, and I don't know how many of the...
It was so many cookies, muffins. And there was
that
at least,
that
like...
That was just in case we had run across any filming that day.
Well, I mean, that was incidental. Yeah. But, yeah, there was so much food. I was like, I can't believe she just left this. There were so many baked goods, and they were all of them so delicious. If you like cooking and you look for good recipes, they have one available.
They have their cookbook.
Yes.
That is available for a donation to charity, and all 100%. They get nothing, from what I understand. It's 100% of not proceeds, 100% of everything goes to Scottish Autism.
Mm-hmm.
And we will...
And I can attest that at least 2 of the recipes are amazing.
I can attest to the 3rd tablet.
What did you have?
Tablet.
So they have a tablet recipe? Lord.
Yes, they have a
and
tablet.
And if you haven't tried tablet, which most of you probably haven't, it tastes amazing, and it's like crack. It's like 100% sugar.
Yes.
It's sugar, and butter, eggs.
And cream.
Not eggs, no eggs. Sugar,
no, it's just sugar, butter, and cream.
And butter.
Did you try it some?
I tried one little
and it
bite.
Melted in your mouth, huh?
When we were at that place in with...
With a thing near the person.
Near Linlithgow. Where was that? Linlithgow?
Oh, yeah.
What city was that?
Oh, yeah.
Linlithgow.
Is it Linlithgow the city
shop.
As well? We tried it there because we had tea there and we got a bunch of stuff. I tried it. I was like, you have to try it. So I tried it.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. I think I got diabetes. But it was really, really tasty.
You get diabetes just looking at it.
Seriously.
Hello.
So anyway, that day, are we going to talk about where it's the first place we went?
Sure.
Because it was... Probably right up there for me with the Westkirk.
Oh, absolutely.
Are we speaking of Craignadun?
We are speaking of Craignadun.
Or as we should, as it is forever known to me as Craignapoo, because there is in the middle of like a sheep field, like a field full of sheep. And
there were no sheep. I mean, it was pretty empty.
The sheep were not
the sheep
on.
Were there.
They were sheep
the
all
sheep
over
were there.
The place, but they were not on this little hillock where all these very recognizable trees were. However, they clearly had been there previously, and there was literally a carpet of poop. A carpet of sheep poop.
All I could think of was when they were filming there must have been some poor intern whose job was poop removal.
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
Today,
otherwise, if I was a cat, I would not have laid down.
No. You know what? I did find one little spot that was virtually poop-free.
Yeah.
And one. I looked all over, and that was the best I could find. I got one little spot, and then... That one little crooked tree, I got a picture on that one, too, because that crooked tree is, like, that's what makes it recognizable, was that one crooked tree.
Yeah. That's where I got my new profile pic of hiding down behind the rock, because that's the only rock that is actually still there on the hill, because, of course, the big stones were just props.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I have my picture behind the rock that Tobias and Kat were crouching behind.
I think we all got pictures there.
That's
pretty awesome.
I don't know if I did, but...
You did. I have it.
Oh,
nice. Isn't that where y'all took the really good one of the two of you, though?
The first one we took of us that was really good was in front of the Westkirk.
Westkirk, okay.
And then I think we got one more at Clava Cairns that day.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
You were going on and on about the light there.
Oh, we were laying down under that tree.
Yes.
Yeah, that one was, that was better than the one we actually posted.
Nice. Yeah, but after Craignadun, which please don't anybody email me and ask me how to get there because... I couldn't tell you.
I couldn't tell you.
All I know is Steph, she said, turn here, turn there, turn
look
here.
Here.
Oh, it just
dance around 3 times.
Exactly. I'm pretty sure she was trying to get me lost.
She succeeded.
That's
we could never find our way back there.
That's her job.
But the next place we went was up to the Rest and Be Thankful rest stop.
We tried to.
Well, the first time we attempted.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, that was the first time that we tried, but unfortunately, somebody else was filming there.
There was a filming base, so it was, like, basically all of the, like, trailers and cars and stuff for the base camp, basically, for this filming crew was at that rest stop. They took it over. And that rest stop, if you're not familiar with it, because I didn't know what it was named until they told me what it was, every time they do any of their...
Well, thus far.
So far. All of the little, like... And the videos they've taken of, like, Sam standing in front of whatever in the rain saying, I'm Sam Heughan. Be sure to tune in for blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, all those little Droughtlander videos.
Yes. They've all taken place at that rest stop. A rest stop. The most beautiful rest stop I've ever stopped at. And that's the thing. It's like, every time I took these awesome pictures, like, I have one of, like, bluebells. Like a blanket, a carpet of bluebells. And my friend was like, oh, where's that picture taken? I was like, it was a car park outside of a university. I'm like, it wasn't even any place like, oh, it was a nature reserve. No, it was a car park. It was like a parking lot on the side of the road. And there was just all these wild bluebells growing crazy.
Yeah, well, May is the perfect time of year for the bluebells in Scotland. I mean,
they were literally everywhere.
Carpets of them. Carpets.
Seriously, it was amazing. I mean, okay, first of all, Scotland, you really can't go wrong with anything. Yeah, one of the days that we'll get to someday was we pulled over and we were driving around and pulled over in that Kilmartin Glen, which we'll get to later. But that that was just a truly unbelievable sight. I mean, it looks almost fake.
Yeah.
I want you to know that as far as that picture was concerned, both Mandy and Ginger got out of the car to take their picture. I took my picture.
It was raining.
I took my picture from the car, and the consensus is I have the most magical picture of all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So after Rest and Be Thankful and not actually being able to stop and the false excitement of thinking we had actually stumbled on Outlander filming, which it turned out it wasn't, we tried to go to Dunmore Park, which is what they use for the World War II Hospital. But it's now blocked off and you can't get there. So, but we did find the really cute Scottish farmer.
We did. And he would have been more than welcome to direct me to go anywhere.
Exactly.
As long as he said it in his accent with that face.
It would have been nice.
Yes. And of course, we were silly and we were like, oh, we were just lost.
We're too busy trying to fake our way out of, oh, yes, right. We were trying to get where we're not supposed to be.
Right.
But after that, we headed further southeast to Preston Mill. What is special about Preston Mill?
Preston Mill is the place where Jamie got naked.
You just said where he held his bits.
In one hand, which was very sad for me on so many levels.
Water was very cold.
Very cold. It had
very
to have been
cold.
So cold that he was literally only keeping it from falling out.
But Preston Mill is really a fun place to visit, too, because not just for Outlander, if you're a Harry Potter fan, the Mill House there is the model for Hagrid's Hut in Harry Potter.
Very clearly. And the minute you look at it and somebody says that, you're like, duh, of course it is. Look at it. Looks just like it.
Yeah. That's also where we continued the tradition that Candida and I started, and Steph and I started last fall, of the shadow selfie.
Oh, yay, yeah. Shadow selfie.
Yes, so I took that and sent that to Candida, telling her I wish she was there. And then after Preston Mill, we managed to squeeze in one more location, which was Roslyn Glen.
Oh, that was a little walk. I mean, we got there, but that was a little walk.
That was a little walk, and I'll have you know my knee is still sore.
Oh, man. Oh. Do you want to say what happened?
Oh, yeah. I managed to trip over a rock and face plant about 10 steps into Roslyn.
I mean, it wasn't funny, but you had just said something like, we were talking about being safe or something, and you literally had just said the words, something, I don't want to die, or something's going to kill me. You said something about with those words. I think it was in jest, but...
I'm sure it was.
But then you went down. Yeah. And I was like, what the heck?
Yeah, my knee was very interesting colors for
it. It was an angry blue. I mean, it was...
Oh, the colors are all gone, but it's still a little sore in spots. But it's much, much better. But for outside of my faceplant, the more important thing about Roslyn Glen is that's the location where Jamie and Claire had their big fight, after he rescues her from Fort William. And it's a beautiful, beautiful spot.
And we
it's
an still, old... Oh, the, sorry, the old...
As you say, it's an old gunpowder mill.
And it's, I mean, it's an... It is, but it's... You walk so long. And it wasn't absurdly long, but you walk so long to get down to the place where they filmed mm-hmm. that... But you see, like, remnants of like, outposts. I don't know what they are. You see remnants of more than just where they filmed. There are remnants of some kind of building from, like, the time you entered that area. And so yeah. you really wonder, that was a large either complex or series collection of buildings.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just down there where they filmed that there was something built. So when we got down there and saw that, and I think we found the place where, you know, the part of the place where they were standing next to the river with the horses. Mm-hmm. And then the place that I called the pit, which was not a pit, but it was a little bit, you know, down, if you will, was, I don't know if we found, I know we were there. I'm not sure if we found the exact area or, like, the exact angle, because nothing looked exactly like they had it.
It never does.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, like, the Kirk looked like the Kirk, even though there was some difference. The river looked like the river. Kudus looked like Kudus. I mean, or Kreinsmeer. The pit, I am positive it was there, and I know it wasn't a pit, but I don't know if they had more greenery up or had some stuff blocked off, but it just looked different, that's all.
Mm-hmm. It's all angles and stuff like that, but I do want to say that, I know you mentioned Mandy going down and falling pretty hardcore. She fell so hard her Fitbit flew off.
That's true.
Like, and we didn't realize it until we were walking back up.
And we were relying on that Fitbit. At the end of the day, or not even that, like in the middle of the day.
That determined how many peanut butter cookies we could eat.
Oh my gosh, for sure.
But luckily somebody had found it, and when we got back to where I'd fell, somebody had set it up on the fence.
They had. And, you know, and in America, that would never happen. Uh-uh. Somebody would have been like, yay, free Fitbit. But there, they were like, oh, somebody dropped this. I'm going to put this on this little fence post, and hopefully they'll come back by mm-hmm. and find it. And we did come back by mm-hmm. and find it. And that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yay for human kindness. But that was, again, like a beautiful location.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I mean, it was, even the hike itself was just lovely. It wasn't.
Oh, no, it was very, it was quite, not flat, but it was gentle.
It was gentle. It was, again, surrounded by bluebells and wood garlic.
And wood garlic, which we did not eat, although we found out later that it is edible and it's safe.
It's always edible. They said it in the episode.
Just like it's only not edible if it's Lily of the Valley.
Thank you.
Exactly.
But what was funny is that, you know, we have a lot of a plant here called social garlic, which
is nasty.
I mean, it just smells. It just smells like onions and or garlic. It smells, it has a very specific smell. So as we were walking down this path, I'm like, God, it just smells like onions or garlic. And then I just kept thinking that and saying that. And then I looked over and I looked at these plants and I was like, I wonder. I was like, it kind of looks like the Lily of the Valley from that episode. So I picked some, and I just smelled one of the leaves. I broke it open. I smelled it. I was like, oh, I just found wood garlic, y'all. I just found wood garlic. They're like, eat it. And I was like, heck no. What if it's Lily of the Valley? I'm not going to die. I'm not dying here.
I'm not dying here. I don't think Lily of the Valley smells like wood garlic. But since we didn't have Claire McKay with us.
Exactly. Right? Who's going to take a chance?
I'm not doing anything without my herbalist. My point is. Is that
you are now our herbalist, Claire.
It was clearly, as far as I'm concerned, wood garlic. And it was all over the place. And, like, it even before I picked it and smelled it, like, the whole area smelled vaguely of onions and or garlic. So,
yeah.
I was like, well, there has to be something here.
We finally got back to the car, which I have to say it seemed to go twice as fast getting back to the car.
It always does.
Makes no sense, but it always does.
Well, because it's all familiar. When you don't know where you're going, you're like, I don't know, this could be another hour.
So then what I found interesting, not a shock, but I guess a surprise, because once we talked about it, it made perfect sense because people live there, or at least were out there doing normal everyday stuff for the time. Was it Mandy who found that porcelain first?
We all found it. Well, here's the thing.
Well, who was the first one?
That location used to be a gunpowder factory.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? So it used to be a gunpowder factory, like the ruins there were from this gunpowder factory. And our outlandish baker friend was saying that people, if you look down, found pieces of porcelain. Mm-hmm. There was pottery, old pottery that they could find like shards of. And in just looking around, I found, like, Mandy found old pieces of porcelain. I found old pieces of, like, pottery. I found old glass, like, super old-looking glass. But I found this really cool little shard of, like, porcelain that was...
Did you bring any of it home?
I did. It's, like, white, but it had, like, little blue designs on it. I was like, that's, like, straight-up pottery. Not even, like, you know, I just found a rock on the ground that was, you know, vaguely interesting to look at. It was, like, this was clearly part of something before.
Yeah, I found a lot of it. Yeah, a lot of it looked like it was 19th century, but I found a couple of pieces that I'm pretty sure are 18th century. Some of it was porcelain, and some of it was glazed stoneware. So it was actually. Let's go find
some carbon daters.
Yeah.
Let's carbon date it and see who finds the oldest piece.
Exactly. But it was really cool because, I mean, literally it was just laying beside the water everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was everywhere.
Well, it was like, it was so funny because we weren't even looking down. And then when our outlandish baker friend was like, da, 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 da. If you look in the ground, you might find pottery pieces. We looked down and we're like, ooh, look at that. Because a lot of it was like rock colored and didn't mm-hmm. stand out. But the two like pieces that we found that I thought were the most striking were like bone white with blue on them.
Yeah.
I mean, that was clearly not something that was nature made.
Yep.
But again, so pretty, so pretty. And the light, so I can't stress this enough. The light in Scotland is magical. And I know that Ron has said this, other people have said this with production, but the light is really special. I don't think I took a bad selfie there.
And I think it must have something to do with the angle of the sun, of the because of the latitude that you're at. That's the only thing I can figure.
I'm just saying, I'm like one of those crazy super white people who don't sun worship, and this is like the land of my people. Like light,
it was pasty,
this pasty light man. Was perfect for like my pasty skin tone. I didn't take a bad selfie, and that's saying something. I usually delete like 5 or 6 before I find one that I like, and I was like, I'm taking some good pictures here. This land is good for me. I need to move here.
Was that the day where we saw the really magical sunset, too?
I don't know.
As we were driving north?
Tuesday, I thought.
That was every day ending in Y.
Well, yeah.
They were all magical.
There was that one day where it was just we kept literally saying ooh and ah and taking pictures. I just can't remember if it was that day.
I mean, I know that happened.
Yeah.
I could look back and figure it out.
Yeah. I couldn't. I don't have any pictures in my blog post, but I wouldn't have had pictures because I was driving. So.
No, I did take a few that day. Let me see what I got here.
But that is the day of the first McDonald's. So after we dropped off our big.
Okay. For the record, I took no pictures at McDonald's.
I didn't take any pictures at McDonald's either.
I don't think I did.
That was a special. Okay. I have five pictures of sunsets from that day. So I would venture to say that was the day of the spectacular sunset.
Yeah.
I think that came later.
Which occurred at about 10:30 at night, by the
seriously
way.
Seriously, though. I don't even want to.
Oh, actually, I'm reading my blog post now. I do say that was the most ever-changing and the most spectacular sunset I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But anyway, I will say that the final tally for driving that day was over 350 miles.
Dude.
Yeah, I was a tired girl.
Bravo. Yes, no, we could tell. Mandy is adorable because her version of, like, testy and, like, people need to just shut up and let me, you know,
drive
is like, if I'm in a roundabout, nobody better talk to me.
That was like, that's the height of her look. I know you're chatty, but, and I'll listen, and I'll even talk back, but I'm entering a roundabout.
Well, and
but,
she was just like, yeah. The following days, she'd be like, she's like, I'm sorry, I just reached a point at the end of the night where I couldn't take it anymore.
And I was like, excuse me?
I was like, you know, I was like, you were so, like, benign. I'm like, that was so, not even.
That wasn't benign. That's a little.
I didn't, but the thing mean, is, but... she, no, my point is that she thought she was being, like, and this is the difference between, like, Westerners and Southerners. She thought that she was being, like, out of line rude, and I was like, I just thought you were being cute. I didn't even think that was, like, remotely, like, aggressive.
Mandy, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think she thought she was being out of line rude. I just think she thought.
I thought I was being cranky.
Yeah.
But her cranky, I thought. But her cranky was nowhere near my cranky. So.
That is true. I have a cranky, but Summer gets the Cranktown Award.
I'm awesome at being cranky.
I only had to say once for the whole trip, if I have to stop this car.
Dude. It's true. We were on our best behavior as sisters, because, you know.
Mostly you were.
I was on my best behavior, but.
I will say I'd never noticed exactly how quiet my house is until this week.
Oh, after spending a week with us.
Exactly.
Dude. Don't say us. It was you.
Oh, it was both of you. In the best possible way.
What was crazy is I got up a half an hour before anybody else every morning just to have some alone time where it was quiet and nobody talked to me.
Yeah.
Because.
That's true. Because when you're with people.
Lord love my sister, but she does not. Sometimes. She's not capable of internal dialogue.
No, she's capable, but she just doesn't typically do it.
Okay.
That is the truth.
Take from that what you will. Point being, there's not a lot of quiet
in the car.
Ginger's with you. So you reached that point.
I think it went remarkably well, because I was a little worried too, because I live alone. So, yeah. I mean, I'm not used to having.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so
that might be part of the thing, is that Summer and I have both, I mean, except for obviously your child and your ex, Summer and I have both lived alone for quite a while, and even though she hasn't lived alone more recently, she's been with your family unit or you and your daughter, and then now I get into the mix, and it was a challenge, not because of who I was with, but because of what I came from. So I've been living on my own since
you, me, and Mandy. My point is she was like, anytime it got quiet in the car, it was like she was like, I'm uncomfortable with silence. I'm going to talk and fill it up with
stuff. I fell asleep plenty of times.
Oh, yes, y'all did.
Thank you.
Don't take them out early and expect scintillating conversation.
No.
Well, not just early. No. Here's the thing. Yes, there was talking. A lot of it was me. But you put me... Okay, we're already tired from the last 3 months. We survived that. We slept... I was amazed at how, even though it was not easy, it got easier to actually get up at 6 or 7 local time. Just, you kind of just head through it. I don't know what to say. You just, you have to. It's either you do it or you lose the opportunity. And you're in Scotland. And there was not, that was, unless someone was ill, which thank God didn't happen, that was not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care how tired you are. I don't care. You have to get up. You have to go. I mean, there was a car. I mean, she would have been happy to leave you there and said, okay, if you need a day, then stay here and have a day off. But I won't see you for 14 hours. And we're going to get this done.
Seriously, I don't think we got in any night.
Before 10 or 11, no.
Yeah, before 10 and
no, probably before 11. Freaking
that last Thursday night, it was 12:30.
It was late.
Well, since the sun did, it was... No, and that was the thing that we haven't said yet is, I mean, you mentioned how the sun went down late, but it's not just that there was a time change, right, or a time difference. We're trying to do our best to stay on the local time so that we can at least somewhat adjust to doing things at that at the quote-unquote right times. But one of the good things, another benefit of going in May when it's not, you know, when it's still shoulder season, but not quite touristy, high tourist season. So because the days are getting longer up until the solstice, in May you can take advantage of that, which is the gloaming, right? You can take advantage of the fact that the days are longer, the sun's up later, and you can get, I mean, it doesn't change the fact that places close at 5 or 6 or whatever, but if it's an open site, like we went to so many things that didn't have entry fees or times or whatever.
Right.
It's ridiculous. There's so much you can do. So number one, you're there. We're not going to miss an opportunity. Right. Number two, we have long days. Number three, we have a car, which means we can do whatever the heck we want to do or need to do to get there. And again, it's Scotland. We're not going to lose the opportunity. And as long as you can get caffeine, which you pretty much can, even if it's a Coke, God forbid, do it.
Cappuccino at McDonald's actually wasn't bad. I had a couple.
And that was another reason at McDonald's, because by the time, it was number one, Wi-Fi. Number two, we needed something to drink. So Mandy could stay awake because she was driving. We still had, 2 hours, hour and a half left. Having that much daylight was a blessing and a curse. The blessing is that you got to do so much more, I think, even if it was just eking out one more place to go. You could physically do more, and it's a lot easier, of course, with the car.
Yeah.
The curse side, which is not really a curse, is that because you were out and you could do so much more during the day, your nights were shorter, and on top of the time difference, you got less sleep.
Yeah. Well, and it was getting light at 4 in the morning.
Well, Lord, have mercy. Yeah.
Thank God for, like, blackout curtains. Seriously,
which to me helps, because when it's bright light outside, I can wake up and be coherent much better than if it's absolutely not. So, yeah, I was awake just about every morning by 6 or 6:30. I'm a tea girl, but I don't normally have. I drink a lot of tea here in the winter when it's cold, but I drink iced tea in the summer.
Oh yeah.
But I don't have that same routine, because my commute's only about 6 steps from my bedroom to my home office, and I get up somewhere between 7 and 8:30.
Oh darn. So.
Yeah. No, like I said earlier, I got up at least a half an hour before the other girls. Mostly, I would walk downstairs, brew some hot water, because sadly, there's a lot of instant coffee over there, and I never quite figured it out how to make it correctly, because it was like, use a teaspoon with milliliters of water, and I was like, I don't know what that means. So I just kind of guesstimated. So I never really enjoyed the coffee I made myself. So by, like, day 3, I was like, screw it. I'm just doing tea. You throw a tea bag in your cup of coffee, you fill it with water, and it's brilliant. But I would get up by myself, and I would sit on the couch and just stare out the, like, giant picture windows at the lake at Pitlochry, and it was
brilliant. Loch Foskelly.
It was awesome, except for one morning when it was so cold that I contemplated trying to figure out how the fireplace worked. But I wasn't going to do it, because I did not want to burn down Susan's home while she was absent.
Not at all.
Not my thing.
No, but let me tell you, the other good thing about the difference in power in the UK versus here, and it being such higher voltage, the tea kettle boils so quickly.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, you put a little water in, you turn it on, and 30 seconds later, it's boiling.
You're done. There you go.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It takes a lot longer here.
Oh, Lord, for real. So the other thing that was awesome about Pitlochry is we showed up there, and I did not have a blow dryer. Like I said, I left all of my adapters and things at home. So I had my blow dryer, but I couldn't use them. Well, Susan, who graciously let us stay in her lovely home, had a blow dryer. She left, and my adapter, my diffuser adapter for my blow dryer, fit on her blow dryer. So I was actually able to do my hair. So after we moved to Pitlochry, I had the most amazing curly hair, which made me so happy, because the curls I was able to achieve in Scotland were perfect for the windy conditions. Like, no matter what the weather was like, I looked pretty awesome in almost every picture I had. Like, my hair did not get weird. It didn't get frizzy. It was, like, perfect for the climate. I was made for Scotland weather. I'm just going to put that out there.
I've decided I was made for Scotland, period. I just got to figure out how to get back.
I need to figure out a way to get back where they won't kick me out.
Stay.
Exactly.
So, if anyone has any ideas, I'm open.
I'm hoping if I win the lottery.
Yes, Syndicate.
Oh, I haven't checked the numbers tonight.
Did you play again?
I paid for it to be last 4 weeks.
Oh, good Lord.
So it's 2 drawings a week for 4 weeks. And
I didn't know that was a thing you could do.
Yes.
You can't do that in America.
Yeah, I know.
You can't schedule out your lottery plays.
Yeah, well, hopefully the numbers that a certain lad gave me will pay off at some point.
Word. Syndicate.
As in her own.
Yeah. Hey.
Which she will hire out.
I mean, yeah. I'm just saying. I think that as long as she purchases a location there, she can only go there for 6 months at a time without being a resident. So there's got to be at least a few weeks I could go and stay in whatever
place. Exactly. We'll work out that timeshare.
That's what I'm saying.
And we could always overlap.
And we keep
saying.
Mandy's
already working on things.
I'm just saying, if you have some time and a place to get access to it, the Syndicate is a wonderful program on the BBC.
Yes, it is.
It is. You should check it out.
And there are a few other great programs.
Didn't it tonight? Darn it.
Is it tonight?
Yeah, it's Wednesday and Saturdays when the drawings are.
Oh.
Oh, the drawings. Oh, you missed it?
Yeah, I didn't win tonight. So.
Oh, you didn't win. I see.
Yes.
So how did that day end?
With apple bros and peanut butter cookies.
It sure did.
Wait, was that the Cards Against Humanity night or was that Sunday?
No, that was the day after. That was the
day before.
Yeah.
So we will then have to meet up virtually with Mandy again to start back on day Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. That was Monday or we did Tuesday?
That was just Monday.
That was just Monday.
Good freaking monkey. Okay. So we'll have to do Monday somehow. Tuesday through Friday. That's right. Like Saturday. No, there's not much to talk about Saturday. Yeah, we'll have to do Tuesday through Friday.
It's going to happen. We'll make it happen.
Okay. So thank you as always so much for listening. And thank you, Mandy, for being with us. We look forward to our next episode.
And check out Great Scott Blog.
Thank you to our generous audio host, audioboom.com. Our audioboom channel is www.audioboom.com/channel/OutlanderPod. Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at OutlanderPod. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/OutlanderPod or email us at OutlanderPod@gmail.com.